Blog Talk Radio.
Take a step, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. But I'd rather live right than in hell lift up my eyes. All God's children to stand, yeah. Tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
For holiness. Whoa. And for righteousness.
And be counted,
and be counted among them that shall reign with Him.
Hey,
stand,
oh, hey,
with friends our Lord.
Oh.
Stand, when you're all alone.
And believe
He shall receive His own.
Take a stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children to stand, stand. Everybody saying that you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Oh,
stand for righteousness.
Comes on doing the Bible through Genesis to Revelation.
6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you're on the West Coast, he goes forth at 4 p.m. Amen. So you're listening to us, and we have an awesome show on tonight. Praise God. But first and foremost, I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. Amen. He is the overseer, the provider, the creator of all things. Amen. Just want to love on our Lord and appreciate him for all he's doing, giving reverence and honor to the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. And his name is Jesus. Glory. Amen. And then to give honor to my husband. I love him. I appreciate him. Thank God for what he's doing. Amen. A driven man, an anointed man who loves the Lord. Thank God for him being on his post and just being such an awesome leader in this ministry. Praise God. So let's get started. We're going to hit it and quit it because we have an awesome message today about a woman named Eve. So let us go to the throne and pray. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, first we just want to acknowledge you for who you are, giving you reverence for being the only wise God. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for this time that you've given us. We thank you for our health and strength, giving us a sound mind. Thank you for this fellowship for those that are listening live by way of Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, Skype, and even those that are going to be listening through the archives, the recorded message. Father, I ask that you bless them, that you open their minds to receive, a heart to receive, to hear, Father, ears to hear, a heart to receive, Lord God. Anoint this message, Father. I decrease that you may increase. Speak through me, speak to me, Father. Give a manifestation of your word like never before. Now as we go forth, we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God, y'all. Amen. You know, this is Eve's night on tonight. I mean, I have been talking about Adam. Adam had his day in court where we had an opportunity to just go through the scripture and see what the Lord said about Adam. And listen, if you missed it, you can go into our archives. It talks about a man named Adam. But today we're going to talk about Eve. Eve, a woman named Eve. My scripture verse is actually Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Amen. You know, Eve was the mother of all living, and her testimony is that God was his best when she was her worst. God was his best when she was her worst. Amen. So let's talk about Eve. Just give a view about Eve, her temptations, her tears, and Eve has a testimony. Amen. How many of you out there have a testimony? Well, Eve had a testimony. She has a testimony. Eve is an appropriate woman to talk about, amen, during this time. Of course, we all know that she was a woman that came out of Adam's, she was a rib. She was the rib that came out from Adam. Amen. And so Eve has a special story because we all know how that ended. But Eve never got a chance to tell her side. Amen. So my intro into this is, it starts in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, and it says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." So Adam saw that, you know, all the animals had a mate, but Adam didn't have anyone. And then we have Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, it states, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." And verse 22 says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman," whoa, man, "and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man." To the woman, this is verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Verse 16, Genesis 16, to the woman, as it said, he would greatly multiply the childbirth. But in verse 20 it says, and Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was mother of all living. She, mother of all living. And chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And next week we're going to be talking about Cain and Abel, but we're not going to get too far off into it. We want to go right to our story. We're talking about a woman named Eve. Eve. Genesis 3:2 says, and the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you should not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So right away, the serpent was saying, you surely shall not die. Listen to that word. You surely shall not die. And he was saying to Eve that God knows that if you eat from this tree, your eyes will be open. As though God's trying to keep something from you. He knows if you eat from this tree, your eyes going to be open, and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Though not 100% true, men and women are tempted in different ways. We know that women are tempted differently from men. Eve was tricked into sin. They say men don't get tricked into sin. They charge headlong into it. She saw that it was good for food. How? There are a lot of things growing around here. We don't be eating, right? The devil ate some and didn't die from touching it. When that happened, the woman had an aha moment, but it was a moment of deception. Eve was tempted with a better life. God trying to keep you, Eve, from a better life. God know, Eve, that if you eat from this, you're going to be like him, and you ain't going to really need him, Eve. Eve was tempted with a better life. Men are tempted with passing pleasures. Men fall for instant gratification. Women fall for relationships. Now, Eve was tempted with life elevation, because for him to say, God trying to keep something from you, because if he said, if you eat this, you're going to be like, he's trying to keep you from being like God, like him. So Eve saw a way to be elevated. Men get tempted with flesh elevation. This is most of the time where men have their struggle at. But Eve was talked into trouble. She was talked into trouble. There was a discussion going on with her and the serpent. Men talked themselves into trouble. Amen? So Eve's tears. Eve had tears after that. What horror and pain was here? She had tears. Everybody always talk about Eve being the bad one. Eve stepped out of alignment. Well, we know that the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God made Eve to be suitable for that man. Whenever God gives you a woman, especially when God sends you a woman designed, given to you by God, everybody's not given to you by God, but when God gives you to give you that woman, it's something that she was suitable for him. And then it goes on to talk about now the Lord God has formed her, formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to man. And see, man, Adam had charge over everything, all the living creatures. Adam was the one that actually gave all the names, all the livestock. Adam was the one that God had authority. You know, in the military, you'd be given certain authority. You know, a lot of times in the military, they going for the person in charge, not so much the worker bees. So Adam was the man in charge. Adam was suitable. He was the one that God called to be in charge, all authority. So the Lord God caused him to fall asleep into a deep sleep because to give him someone to be connected to. So while Adam was sleeping, he took one of his ribs and opened it up right next to the flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib and had taken it to the man and brought her to him. Can you imagine when Adam first laid eyes on Eve? Can you just sit there for a moment? He's been sending all the animals having their partners, and then here comes someone that looks like him but in a female form. And then he said, now this is Adam saying, this is now bone of my bone? Bone? A woman coming? A woman being a rib of a man is bone of my bone? This is my bone? Eve was his bone. Woman is the flesh of man. She is so a part of him. She should be called woe, because it's a wound. Woe, man, for she was taken out from me, man. And that is why a man leaves his father and his mother and unite to his wife, and they become one flesh. Stay with me now. She's coming back on the scene. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And it goes on in the story, now the serpent was more crafty of any of the wild animals of the Lord God had made. Crafty. Cunning. He comes along to Eve and he says, did God really say, have you ever had something that demon, devil, or someone say, is that really what the Bible says, or is that just what the man, that's man-made Bible. Here we go. They're trying to just put you as a slave. Did God really write the book? Come on, y'all heard it before. So he's having this conversation with Eve. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And here comes the serpent. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows. Here we go again. I want you to catch what I'm trying to say. I'm saying it over and over. God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes gonna be open. God trying to keep your eyes closed. God trying to keep you in the dark, Eve, and you will be like God. Don't let him hold you back. He know you gonna know good and evil. Don't you want to know good and evil, Eve? So when the woman saw that the fruit of the trees was good, right away her eyes, she didn't know what was good or evil. She don't know nothing like that to the devil. You know, sometimes you don't know nothing until the enemy try to paint it. He'll paint that picture in your head, and then you'll get that visualization because the enemy is trying to set you up. He's setting the temptation up. That's why we got to be careful what we're looking at, what our eyes come into, because the enemy will draw that picture to you, and this is what he's doing. She saw now, ooh, it's food. But we know God was already providing all their needs. Ooh, it looks good, pleasing to the eyes. That's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. And it looks desirable. That means I can gain wisdom. So she took some of it and she ate it. What's the harm? And she also gave some to her husband. Now that she gave it to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I think we'll be looking at a different story here. Had she ate it and he didn't eat it, because truth be told, God didn't give her the instruction. He gave the instruction to Adam. Adam was responsible for his wife because he was the one teaching her, so she knew it was wrong. So at that point in time, what do you think Adam should have done? Because I don't see nowhere in the story where Adam was forced. His hands were tied. She just put it up before him, and he ate. But then, instantly, their eyes, both of their eyes, became open. And they realized they were naked. Well, how did they know they was naked? They instantly knew they was naked. They were already naked, but once they was disobedient, they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves. Now, how many of you, when you know you done wrong, you're going to find some kind of way to hide it up, hide it with a lie, hide it, blame it on something? So they sewed the fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. Uh-oh, God showing up. See, because God was used to, you know, God be getting used. He gets used to meet with you at a certain time of the day and evening. And God just doing what God's doing. He's just showing up, the sound of the Lord. The Spirit is walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And they hear from the Lord. Have you ever heard from the Lord when you know you did wrong? You stopped doing what you know, most people, they were going to church all the time. They stopped going to church. Or some people, they stopped letting God use them. They stopped reading the Bible. They stopped witnessing. When you do wrong, you feel guilty. So it's like, I don't want no part of it. I'm running. I don't know. I'm guilty, and I know God's going to get me, so I'm running. And there God, but the Lord God called to man, even though, now you know God being all-knowing, but God called to man, where are you? Adam answered, I heard you in the garden. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Now, and he said, I was naked, so I hid. And here God said, who told you that you were naked? You've been naked ever since I created you. She's been naked. So who told you that you were naked? And then instantly God said, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said, here we go, y'all. Come on, y'all. The man said, that woman you put with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate. God, you know, if you had not have gave me, I was doing okay till you gave me the woman. So she, it's her fault because she gave it to me. So since she gave it to me, you know me, I just ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And then the woman, everybody passed away. Then the woman said, the serpent deceived me. The serpent did it. He deceived me, and I ate. How would you like to know? How would you like to be known for your biggest mistakes? You know the time when your judgment lasts, your impure, everything. You did something you know you shouldn't have done. How many of you have ever done something and you know you did it and you know you was wrong and you know you can't change it? You cannot get it back. There's nothing you can do to change it. But what if you, how many of you that if you had an opportunity to change it, knowing you made the worst decision of your life? I want you to think about that. Because this is what they're left with. Wow. What have I done? You know, and he's thinking like, Eve, you came to be my help. What did you do to me, Eve? You know? So welcome to the story of Eve, because everything is pointing to Eve. Everybody likes to say, thanks, Eve. Well, thanks, Eve. It's your fault, Eve. Not only did she do something wrong, they say she had written down, and she's known in the bestseller all-time words as the worst sin of all. The worst sin of all. Now, that's not what we see here. When you look at Eve's story, there's a whole mother, she's the mother of humanity. Let's look at that. Because I think if you think about it on a deeper level, how many of you had some mothers that wasn't quite perfect? How many of you know that we all are born of sin? So every mother, and we're talking about the mother of all creation, every mother can tell you about this story. They ain't always been saved. They ain't always wore those dresses. They ain't always said hallelujah. They ain't always said God is good. All the time, God is good. Every mother has a story, and Eve has her story. So as we see here, we begin with Eve, and we learn right away how her story has really been mistold, misused down through all the centuries. It's not only Eve who has suffered because of that as the first woman. Her disobedience has been generously applied to every woman who has come after her. Sounds ridiculous, huh? Well, let me continue. In the early Christian days, do you not know that you are each a part of Eve? Because the sentence of God on this sex of her life throughout the ages is we all share in a sense of the guilt of sin. Because the devil finds a gateway in all of our lives. Because the enemy puts before us, all of us, a forbidden tree. And I say that because the enemy knows how to use what he uses divisively, individually, tailor-made just for you, because he has studied you. Man was made in God's image. Made in God's image. That's how we know her. We know Eve with Eve, the temptress, Eve, the seducer, Eve, the one who ate the forbidden fruit and caused the downfall of humankind. Eve, women who have cycles and have the pain during childbirth or the menstruals every month, is a reminder. Eve. So to truly understand her, you have to go back to the beginning in Genesis. What we have here is the fact that Eve came from Adam's rib, and her account was with the serpent. And we must focus on God's relationship to humans and God's ultimate relationship to creation. It is about the first creation story. I believe if you put yourself where Eve was, there must have been such a pain, hurt, the tears that she had to cry of knowing that she came to bring delight and happiness to her mate, which was Adam. But in her disobedience, and her being beguiled by the enemy, it caused her and her mate to lose Eden, where everything was perfect. So there was pain. This is something, have you ever done something, and every day it keep coming up into your mind, reminding you over and over and over and over and over. See, people don't understand this. And let me try to help you understand. When someone has done wrong and they know they did wrong, they're going to be their number one critic. They're going to beat themselves up. They're going to remind themselves, if I woulda, shoulda, coulda, oh, how could I have done that? Where was my head? How stupid I was. They're going to beat themselves up more than you can imagine. So when you're pointing your hand at someone, let me tell you, they've already pointed to, because they look in the mirror and it radiates, and they realize there's nothing that they can do, nothing that Eve can do to get back into the Eden, get back into Eden. It was over. They were cast away. God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea. He had all rulership. Can you imagine lions and animals walking around together, and he's in harmony, not fearful of being in the jungle, being eaten by the animals? God created mankind in his own image. That means he had the relationship with all creation. God created male and female. God created them. Male and female. Male and female. They were on an equal. They were equal at that time. Amen. We see here that you may say, but what about later when God makes Eve by taking one of Adam's ribs? This is implying that, okay, she's lesser. She's lesser because she's just a rib. Well, let's look more closely at the story. We see, excuse me, when God created things, God named this to be good. Everything God created, he said it's good. Everything from the beginning, God said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, this is good, this is good. Everything was functioning. When God says something good, it's because everything is functioning the way he created. When God creates something, he creates it with a purpose. This is good. And it's not good. Look at this. Then God says it's not good. Everything is good until he said it's not good for man to be alone. Everything else was good, but he's alone. That's implying that humans in isolation are not functioning as God intended them to function. What did you catch in that? God created Adam, but then he brought Eve. You and I can't function without human connection. So God set out to make what our translation calls a helper as his partner. There's other translations say that God was making a companion as a helpmeet. So we see two different type of translations. I'm going to break it down that in the Hebrew word here is ezer, and is used in each place in the scripture to describe God. For example, the psalmist referred to God in Israel as ezer in times of trouble. And it's also used to describe God in several military texts. Don't leave me now. I know it seems like I'm getting deep, but I'm throwing some good nuggets out here. I'm trying to explain to you. Most importantly, what I want you to capture from this is that everything was good until God looked at man and seen that he was alone. He said, this is not good. And it wasn't until he brought Eve to God with, now this is good. This is good. So Eve was a part of the plan that God had for man. That's why, and I'm getting ready to step on some people's feet that seem to believe that God made Joe and John and Sally and Mary. No. God said it was good when he brought forth Eve unto Adam. That was good. That was good. The serpent was a serpent then, and the serpent is a serpent now. There's nothing different about the serpent. That story, you would know this from Genesis to Revelation. The serpent is not going to change. He will always be that demon, that serpent, the devil, will always use things to entice you. He enticed Eve. How many of you have ever felt in the enticement of Satan? How many of you out there have ever eaten from the forbidden fruit? You have had a forbidden fruit before you, knowing that God says, thou shalt not, do not, but you ate from it because the enemy enticed you. He caught you in isolation. He caught you somewhere in a place of temptation, and he beguiled you. He beguiled you. Eve was out of order because she stepped into a place that she was not supposed to be. But Adam, as the person that God holds accountable, even though she gave it to him and she would have dealt with, God would have dealt with her, but more so, the curse came when the man followed his help that brought forth a separation between him and God when they once had a place of union. So I'm here in defense of Eve. I'm here in defense that Eve has done something that every one of you are doing, even today. Even today. So we want to blame Eve. But do you not know we are in the same situation? Because you know that the enemy is a tempter. You know that the enemy is a slimy, slick deceiver. And you know that the enemy studies you. But somehow the enemy, crafty, pulls you into a place and twists things around. Oh, it's okay to look at that. It's okay to touch that. Nobody's going to know. You'll be okay. Just do it. Fulfill that flesh. Fulfill. You'll be all right. Then just get, you'll get back to. Just do it. Eve was the one that put us in the place, but ultimately Satan, the one who will in the end be cast away. The story of Eve in many ways is the story of all of us. Her name means life giver. Eve is your story. She's my story. Because we all fall short of God's glory, and we all fall short of the tempter. And as long as you and I are alive, he will be continuing trying to set you up for the fall. And through her story, we can all find our roots, our connected to God. Through her, every woman can find their source of strength as divine image bearers. Eve has always been a convenient peg on which men hung their unflattering theories about women. They like people like to say, well, women are out of order, or they want to say, well, if it was not for Eve. But on the flip side, we got to say, if it was not for Adam, yes, she made a mistake. So have we. But I like to think we're all more than our mistakes. You are more than your mistake. Whatever thing that you've done in the past, you are more than your mistake. And no matter what our critic, no matter what people say about you, especially those critics inside your head, because you're going to have more criticism in your head, because the enemy is going to continue to rewind the tape, rewind what you did. Remember what you did. Remember what you did. Remember who you let down. Remember, remember, remember. God is not trying to get you to remember. God is not trying to get you to remember everything you did. He's not trying to get you to remember when you bit that fruit. God is not trying to get you to remember your past sin, your failure when you was a child. God is not doing that. Those voices are not God. This, again, is the deceiving the same demon that was in the Garden of Eden. This is the same demon that's rewinding and rewinding and reminding and speaking in your head is the same demon that deceived Eve. So you and I today, you and I today must address Eve. It must address the voices that are in our head. We must address what the enemy is trying to do to destroy us, to separate us, just like he did with Eve. Did God really say, no, you can't believe everything you hear? We got to get ourselves so saturated, so surrounded by the word of God and the things of God to where it drowns out. And I'll say this, just because everything that's got a cross and say they have God, no, no, no. You'll be discerner. You test the spirit by the spirit. You'll be discerner and make sure that you even stay in fellowship with those things that are of God, because everything that's said is of God is not of God. The devil's out there perpetrating the fraud. But you, when you're in God's word and you are prayed up, you are fasted up, and you are connected to God, God will not allow you to be deceived. God will not allow you to be deceived. So what we're doing today, we are coming to the defense of Eve, because we know that Eve is a version of us, because we all have our tempting. We all have our temptations. And though she fell, she is something that we can look at. Well, that shows that the enemy is doing the same thing then that he's doing now. You just got to be wise enough to call it out in the name of Jesus. That's Eve, y'all. She's a woman that failed God, and she didn't live up to her purpose at that particular time, because God brought her to be a help, not a hindrance. And it cost them the garden. It cost them to lose out on something which was their paradise. And as I say to you, have you ever felt bad about something you did and you wish you can change, but you can't change it? There's nothing that she can do to change now that she has been banished. They have been banished from paradise. There's nothing she can do. So when it's something that you've done, that you know you have let God down, you let people you love down, do you just end it all? Do you just say, I fell, what's the use of living? It's over? No. No, we don't do that. But what we do, we take our experiences in life and we learn from them. You got to go through something in life. Your best lesson in life is your trials and your tribulation. Come on, somebody. You better talk to me. Your best trials in life is your trials and tribulation. Those are the lessons in life. You will learn from your stupidity. You will learn from your foolishness. You will learn from your disobedience. And God don't hide those things from you. He'll let you go through only to teach you. Now, here was where we mess up at. Well, we've been taught some things through our failures as Eve. And we go back and we repeat those things that God has, there's lessons to be learned. And we go back and we repeat them. Don't you know every time you repeat something that God told you not to do, that it gets harder and harder and harder? Because so much is given, much is required. You know better. You know better. So when you know better, we do better, right? So let's take the story of Eve as we all, in so many words, we all can relate to Eve. We can relate to Eve because every day of our life, we are being tempted. Amen? Every day, temptation is coming your way. It ain't always got to be something physical. It can be tempted to lie or be tempted to do the wrong thing, be tempted to do something you know you said you wasn't going to do no more, but you're doing it anyway. The enemy studies you. And just as he studies you, he's looking for a way to get you ultimately to be separated from God, to pull you away from your ordained position with God. Because God has a destined place with you in him. God has a fellowship with you. And he knows sin is what's going to separate you. He knew if I can get Eve, this is going to separate you because God said you shall die. And that death was necessary, a physical death, but the death of separation, there's a spiritual death that happens when you disobey God. The spiritual death is separation. That means you don't have that covering. That means you don't have that protection. That means you are out for the kill. That means you and your descendants. That's why it is so important for you and I to stay in right connection with God. Because the minute we're separated, we're open prey for the enemy. We're now open prey. Not only us. Your disobedience will affect your children, their children, your descendants. You're not only being obedient for yourself, but your obedience is going to pass to your seed. It's going to help your seed to receive the blessings of God. And if we're going to be talking about next week, Cain and Abel. And you're going to see, wow. You're going to see what has happened down through the descendants of Adam and Eve because of disobedience. This story of Cain and Abel going to blow you away. It's going to blow you away. God's going to have given it to me, and I'm going to pass it to you, a powerful revelation. And if you have children, if you know somebody got children, I don't care if they believe in God, they need to listen to this message. Because if we all catch the revelation about our life and how we can reverse the curse that's been passed on to our children, do you know that this is a story that the devil don't want you to know? The devil thinks that, oh, you just doing it, just you, just ask forgiveness. No, this thing is deep. So the story of Cain and Abel, we're getting ready to liberate some folks. Because we all begin to understand that something happens when we sin. I guarantee you, affirmatively, you're going to look at sin and disobedience a whole lot different. You're going to develop what God said, which is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, come on, what did it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're going to develop, and with this message that I'm going to bring with Cain and Abel, it's going to help you have that revelational knowledge about why God says fear. God, fear the, any type of, I'm not talking about the type of fear that the boogeyman, the boogeyman, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the type of fear where it's like when the devil try to entice you to do things, it's like you going to look at, first thing you're going to do is look at God. Man, you ain't messing with my blessing. Get behind me, Satan. That's the type going, oh, no, I've been there. Dude, are you serious? You're going to look at the devil like he's a joker. Are you real? Yeah, you better come again. You're going to look at the devil. You're going to start talking to the devil like that when he come your way. I said, nah, you might as well switch it up because I already know you. You're slimy, you're on your belly, and I'm not falling for the okie dog. You hear me? That's going to be some powerful revelations coming on. So I'm going to end my message here, and I'm going to say a prayer. Because I believe all of us fall into diverse temptations just as Eve did. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your revelational knowledge that you've given to us about the story of Eve, the woman throughout history who fell into sin, fell into disobedience, and lost paradise, who was sent to be a help but became a sense of a hindrance. But we all can relate to her story, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we all identify the tempter. Now, God, I pray that you, in entrusting us and help us, Lord God, to identify the enemy and to cast it away. Help us to submit to you, resist the devil, that he may flee. I pray, Father, for every person on this call, every person that's listening, Father, I ask that you to arm them with their armor, give them the fruits of the Spirit, give them what they need in the time of battle to stand strong in the place of adversity. Allow them to be, Lord God, ambassadors. Father, you've given us the power and authority to take charge, to cast out devils. Father, we pray right now as we all touch and agree, for you said in your word to agree on anything on earth, it should be given in heaven. Now, we all touch and agree in the name of Jesus, as we believe that no weapon formed against us should prosper in every tongue that rises up against us. God, you said in your word, you shall condemn. You said in your word, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through you, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting out all imaginations. Arm our minds, Lord God. Allow our eyes to be, Father God, pure. Purify our minds. Purify our heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. As we walk this walk, we walk it with integrity. We walk it with faith. And we walk it in assurance that we're not walking this walk alone, this journey, but you're right with us. For we shall not fear evil. And we should not fear anything that would come our way. Lord, we lift you up. We glorify you in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, thank you. I believe Eve has spoken. And we see now, I definitely get it, Eve, that, hey, I can relate. I can relate, Eve. I can relate to temptation. I can relate to the voice of the enemy. Amen. My mics are open. Amen. If you have a comment, praise God, I have someone here. You're live. God bless you. You're live on the air. Amen. Praise God. You're live. Amen. 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 I see your mic is open. Praise God. Maybe you have to take yourself off mute, but I see you. 652, you are open. Amen.
Praise God.
There you go.
I'm so sorry.
You was on mute. I do it sometimes too, sweetheart. Hey, what's up?
I'm saying, hey, praise God, praise the Lord. And nobody's saying nothing. And I'm like, I didn't think to look on mute. Hey, but anyway, praise God, woman of God. You really brought that word this evening. Oh, my God.
Yes, God bless you.
And you know, it's so awesome. First, I want to give honor to God, who is definitely, truly the head of my life. And then,
yes,
of course,
yes.
I'm going to honor you. You, my queen, I honor you, Lady Diane
yes.
Shaw, my wife. Love you. Listen. You know, you brought such a powerful message. There's nothing that I'm going to add or take away or anything. You know what I mean? But what I want
yeah,
to
yeah,
say
yeah.
is, you know, Eve was in the garden. Eve did get
right.
the fruit. Eve did gather what needed to be gathered to feed her husband. That was so cool. I really appreciate that. But, you know, it was the man's fault. Let me
yep,
tell you why.
Right, that's
it
right.
was the man's fault. Because, see,
no matter
like,
how you cut it up.
Yeah, when God created the woman out of the man, you know what I'm saying? He said, these two shall be joined together and become one. So
right.
everywhere that Eve went, Adam was right there. Come on now.
Right
he wasn't
there.
Asleep. He wasn't around the corner. He wasn't getting the E&J bottle, 40 ounce. He was right there. See, so when Lucifer came up on her, and he started talking to her, beguiling her, as the word of God says.
Mm-hmm. Deucing her.
Adam was right there. Adam
right
was just
there. You know.
Huh? What's up? You try to see this dude try to talk to your woman, what you going to do? Let her keep talking to her? No. Amen. Let's keep it simple. The Satan was beguiling Eve. He deceived her. And through that deception,
mm-hmm.
Adam was right there allowing her to be deceived. He stepped
right.
out
what's
of
up
order,
with that? Right.
Out of alignment. Amen. From not following the obedience of what God said, I give you dominion.
Dominion over everything.
Over everything. And he did not take authority over that saint, over that serpent.
Oh, man, you just hit it. You just hit it right there. And as soon as he had he had dominion over the big mouth Lucifer demon, that snake. Because he could have right there instantly shut the snake up because God gave him authority. Right there. Yep.
Amen. And what's so awesome about that is that being that is so, Adam being the firstborn of God. Amen. Right?
Yeah.
He was manifestation. God's spirit
all
was
that
in
power.
Him because he threw the breath of life into him and man became a living being. So Adam stepped out of order when he did not obey and stay in direction and alignment with God.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
praise God, and I appreciate you for acknowledging Eve and what she did. She only did what she was normally used to doing, collecting
mm-hmm.
and providing for her husband. And we stepped
yeah,
out of
yeah,
order.
Yeah, babe, babe. She said,
else.
Oh. She was going around getting the fruit. Said, oh, that's food for us. Oh, it looked good. Here, Adam, don't it look good? Right?
And he was there. Yes. He was right there. He might have been looking at the butterflies or looking over there at something else. But she was collecting it while he was following her. And you know what I'm saying? So he was in the wrong for not taking authority over the Satan snake in the Garden of Eden. Just like we need to be mindful, if you will, just to turn it down a little bit, or how we deal with situations in society today. As a husband to a wonderful wife, and I'm sure many out there that are married, we also come upon those situations where we get tempted and want to go out and do a little this, that, and the other, and dip in that,
mm-hmm.
and think, don't nobody going to know. But no, God knew what you were going to do before you even did it.
Yep.
Amen? Because he's all-knowing and all-powerful. And understanding
mm-hmm.
that God is an awesome, powerful, magnificent being. He has all judgment. He has all power. He has he's justified for all of what he does for us
mm-hmm.
and to us. So I just thank you, woman of God, for bringing forth that message on this evening. The woman is very important. She's very important. And the man
Amen.
Can do nothing with her. And the two together, united they stand, what? Divided they fall.
Divided they fall.
God bless you, woman of God. I love you.
Amen.
Thank you for the message.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So, again, thank you. That was Elder Shaw. Amen. My husband, praise God. We're my rib. I'm his rib. Praise God. And, you know, we just thank God. I hope everyone got something out of that message. Amen. It's just to understand that we all have a position and a role to play in the kingdom of God. We all have a role to play. Amen. And to be mindful of that role. Don't take it lightly. I'm telling you, don't take it lightly, because God give it. And surely God can take away, but God has a place for you in this kingdom, amen, and stand strong. Stand strong. Men, continue to be the head of your household. Lead with integrity. Lead with love. Lead in alignment with God. Because when you're with the Lord, you can't go wrong, amen. When we are standing in alignment with God, we cannot go wrong. Praise God. Well, God bless you all. We're going to end right now with a song. Follow us again. I have a message on Sunday. Praise God. Then my husband's back on Monday through Friday. We're trying to seal it up. I believe Minister Andrew is going to be coming back soon. Amen. He's looking at another day. But we're trying to keep it going. Amen. We're trying to empower you, inspire you, and keep you encouraged. And when we keep you encouraged, we're encouraged. We love serving God. We love being on our post. And we love being about our Father's business. Praise God. So be blessed. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and end our service. Love you. God bless.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shelly John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you got to realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and say, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Oh, everybody, now we're gonna go back home and sing it like we used to long time. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music. Come, oh,
I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance.
I like that. Come on, praise him in the morning,
praise him in the morning,
praise him all day long.
All day long.
Come on, help me. Committed unto him against that day. Now let me hear you say, Jesus,